You know, in today's world, it seems the best treatment is reserved only for a few. Well, Discover wants to change that by making everyone feel special. That's why with your Discover card, you have access to 24/7 live customer service as well as $0 fraud liability, which means you're never held responsible for unauthorized purchases. Finally, no matter who you are or where you are in life, you'll feel special with Discover. Learn more at discover.com/creditcard. Limitations apply.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
We're not one of those shows that starts with the Dallas Cowboys just because.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
I just have to say this to start this program based off of what I saw on Sunday night. These Dallas Cowboys are for real.
How about them Cowboys?
Earlier on the show, Emmy Award winning actor Tony Shalhoub, Academy Award nominated actor Adam Driver. Coming up, MLB Network insider Tom Verducci. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
That's correct. Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. What a fun show we've had already. The man who plays Monk on Peacock right now. His new film that is out right now called Mr. Monk's Last Case. He is, it's a Monk movie, by the way. Tony Shalhoub, he was on in hour number one. And then in hour number two, in studio, Adam Driver. He plays Enzo Ferrari in the new film Ferrari. And we had an epic celebrity true or false. And
so
it's fantastic. I don't mean to interrupt you eating the donuts that Susie brought here because it's a Tuesday. And if it's a Tuesday, then Susie Schuster and Amy Trask are recording the latest episode of What the Football. Dan Patrick will be their guest today.
Nice.
And if it's Tuesday and they're here, somebody's bringing baked goods here and Susie brought donuts. I don't mean to interrupt your eating.
Sorry.
Your eating.
I ate the head off the snowman. So.
All right. We're going to have to discuss this.
See, I finished mine while we were still in commercial. Right?
As a matter of fact, I get it. We've got to get to our guest, though. He is the ultimate hyphenate, senior writer for Sports Illustrated, an analyst for Fox, and an Emmy Award winner as well. Also for Major League Baseball Network, Tom Verducci, back here on the Rich Eisen Show. Good to see you, Tom.
Good to see you, Rich.
I have questions, Tom. I've got a lot of questions. Yeah. I have many questions. All right. Give me the TikTok on what happened with Shohei Ohtani at the end of last week, and then that culminated with his Instagram post that he's going to the Dodgers.
Yeah, well, I think he wound up at a place we thought maybe since he was in high school, right? The Dodgers thought they were going to sign him out of high school. And when this free agency began, I think we all expected he was going to wind up with the Dodgers. And how it came to be, no one saw this coming in terms of Toronto being really the only other finalist here in the sweepstakes. And especially the contract, $700 million just was a jaw-dropping number. Of course, it took a couple of days before he figured out, well, it's maybe not exactly $700 million. It's more like $460 million in present-day dollars. But I think, Rich, you have to look at this differently. First of all, we know he's the unicorn, right? So why not have a unicorn contract? And it is. There's nothing like it that never has been in baseball. Completely legal, completely within the bounds of the collective bargaining agreement. And most importantly, this was Shohei's idea. Shohei sat down with both teams and said, I want to defer most of my money. He actually started out telling his agent, Nez Bolello, can I defer everything? And he looked up and was like, well, you can't play for free. You have to play for at least the minimum. And they settled on $2 million. So now Ohtani is making less than Austin Barnes, the backup catcher for the Dodgers. And he's the most talented player in the history of baseball, making less than a backup catcher. So, you know, the Dodgers got themselves, and you can say this for a $700 million contract, a true bargain. So much so that now they're going after Yoshinobu Yamamoto and Josh Hader because of the money they saved on Ohtani. It's crazy.
It is. All right. So let's take it one at a time here. So why did Ohtani not go in the direction of the Northeast? Why didn't the, because I imagine the Yankees and the Red Sox would have fallen all over themselves to enrich him in the same way the Dodgers did or the Blue Jays were willing to or everyone else. Why did Ohtani not go in that direction?
No question. You're right. And I applaud him for not using those teams to drive up the bidding and just be a stalking horse, right? I mean, if you're a free agent, you always want to get those teams involved, if for nothing else, to get the price up. But remember, when he was a free agent, he first signed with the Angels. He could have waited two more years and made more than $200 million. Instead of coming over at age 23, he signs for $2.3 million with the Angels in a minor league contract. And he said at that time, he did not want Yankees, Red Sox, Mets, you name it, the Acela corridor, ruled them out right away. First of all, this guy wants to play climate controlled or really good weather. It's important to him because he's a two-way player, doesn't want to go through cold weather, humidity, wind conditions, all those things that can disrupt your schedule, preacher of routine. Just didn't want the big city, but most importantly, outdoors, iffy weather. And that was the same case this time around where he just ruled out those teams. They were never in it. I don't even think the Giants were in it based on their ballpark, their weather, the fact that they're not really a playoff caliber team right now, and who should say when they will be. So really it was just Toronto, which has a dome, which he loves, by the way. His numbers are great there. It reminds him a lot of the Sapporo Dome where he played in Japan. And the Dodgers, the Angels really weren't in it. They weren't getting to this kind of a number. So limited field, and this guy maxed out at the greatest contract ever for an athlete.
So the Angels – so I guess in retrospect, the Angels should have flipped him a couple summers ago or something like that. I mean, is that a fair 2020 hindsight to have here, Tom, at all?
Yeah, you could definitely make that argument just based on, you know, the arc of a team, and especially the Angels, who haven't been in the playoffs in forever, to just try to get something back. But I look at it this way, Rich. This guy really is, you know, our Babe Ruth in this generation, even better. I mean, Babe Ruth didn't play this long as a two-way player the way Ohtani has. And he was a drawing card. It's like this priceless gem that you have, and you have something of value, and you just don't trade it up so you can get, what, a few more players in your minor league system to be better down the road? You know, Artie Moreno, you can make a lot of arguments about how he runs that team, smartly or not, but he loves having star players there who will draw fans. And those people got to watch Shohei for 6 years. There's value to that. And listen, this year when they at the trade deadline, they had a winning record, a positive run differential, like two or three games out of it. You can't pull the plug on a season.
No, I wasn't talking about it. I wasn't talking about it this year. I'm talking about it last year because, I mean, let's be straight up here, Tom. I mean, you can't be obviously the number seven is surprising, and yeah. as is the structure, but. Two summers ago, you got to sit here and think to yourself, are we willing to go to five? Are we willing to go to six? Because that's going to be the number if we keep playing this thing out. And I'll tell you, you know, again, you know, Susie Schuster, you know her because you guys, you know, met years ago when the Angels with Tim Salmon and Erstad. I mean, those guys weren't like Trout or Ohtani, but everybody was filling up that stadium because they were winning. So you put some winning players in there, they're gonna fill the place up, Tom. That's she was there, you were there, I was there. That's my point about it with the Angels here.
There's no doubt that what you said is true. I mean, putting a winning team in there is gonna be more attractive. You look at their attendance, and they still haven't gotten back to the level where they were with winning teams. So that there's no question about that. I just think with Ohtani, you're never going to win a trade like that. And more than that, he can come back and haunt you because he is just the unicorn in the game. It's just this priceless asset that someone like Artie Moreno, who loves having named players who bring people to the ballpark, mm-hmm. was just not going to trade. In fact, teams called and it was Artie Moreno, the owner, not the general manager, who took him off the trade market that year, 2 years ago.
Tom Verducci here on the Rich Eisen Show. Okay, so now let's get to the money. It was Ohtani's idea to defer money. And he came up with the figure initially of all of it? Is that what you're saying to me?
Well, what he said to Nez Bolello is, can I defer my salary? And he wasn't dead set on all of it, but they had to look up what exactly is allowed in the CBA. What they found was the greatest percentage that's ever been before this one deferred was Max Scherzer with the Nationals. He had half, 50% of the $210 million contract that the Nationals deferred. You have a couple of guys, Mookie Betts, a couple other guys in the 20%, maybe 30%. That's it. So once Nez Bolello said you can't play for free, you have to have some number. They came up with $2 million. It's as good as a one or three, I guess. But yes, it was Ohtani's idea. Now, there's a couple of reasons for that, Rich. He didn't want any team, and it was mostly likely going to be the Dodgers, to have to pay such a prohibitive luxury tax that they didn't have room to add players around him. It was really important for him that he didn't hamstring a team. And the other thing is, even making $2 million next year, guess who the highest paid player in baseball is? It's Shohei Ohtani because he's making $50 million off the field. There's nobody like him in baseball in terms of being an international, you know, brand ambassador for whatever you want. So he's got $50 million in his pocket going to the next year. So if you defer out $680 million 10 years from now with no interest, he's okay with that. I mean, just imagine the cartwheels the Dodgers did down the hallways when he came up with this idea that I'll play for you for $2 million a year. Crazy.
So does this mean that the 2034 through 2043 Dodgers are going to have to pay $68 million on it? Does that count towards a luxury tax then? Or this is now completely separate from what counts towards a luxury tax, or the Dodgers just don't care that the entirety of the collective bargaining agreement may be totally different by then anyway. Let's just kick the can down the road and screw it in weird World Series now. What about that?
Well, they don't care because they're essentially getting a Ferrari that they don't have to pay for until 10 years from now and with no interest attached to it. And that's why the number is actually 46 a year, not 70 a year in true present day dollars. Now, they'll have to fund that money. They will have to pay that $60 million per year starting in 2034. By the way, they're also going to have to pay Mookie Betts about $10 or $11 million. Those guys will be 48, 49 years old. They're still collecting millions upon millions from the Dodgers. But as you fund that money and it accrues interest and it's less than that far out than it is today, that's a no-brainer for the Dodgers to do. And, you know, I hate to say this because we are so accustomed, Rich, to looking at these deals and saying they're all Trojan horses, right? What is going on here, actually? And Ohtani's just a different cat, man. I always say, when you think about what's the golden age of baseball, it's usually that time when you were 10 years old, right? Because that's when you just have these wide eyes and you're looking at baseball for the first time and falling in love. Well, not to sound corny, but that's the way Ohtani looks at the game. And I think we're better off looking at this like Ohtani and being more naive than cynical when it comes to this deal. It's a great deal for the Dodgers and it's a great deal for Ohtani. And he did take this from a really humble point of view to say, I don't want to hamstring the team. And I can afford to do this by getting $50 million coming to me off the field.
Well, and again, though, it's not like the NFL and the NBA where you're circumventing a hard cap and you're taking advantage of the soft part of a cap. This is to avoid paying lower market teams money that you don't want them to just pocket, because it's not going to go back into the competitive spirit of the game, because they're going to, the Angeloses aren't going to suddenly say, we're going to start paying people $20, $25 million a year because we'll take some luxury tax money and do that. So my question for you is, the luxury tax was set up so teams like the Dodgers wouldn't have the top of an order being Betts, Freeman, Ohtani. That's why you have this system, and it's now been completely circumvented now by the largesse of somebody, as you point out, is not cynical in Ohtani, but it's happening. How does Major League Baseball feel about this right now?
First of all, they're happy that this guy is with the Dodgers, right? I mean, we have not seen Ohtani in the postseason, and there's a pretty good chance, considering the Dodgers have been in the postseason 11 straight years, you're going to see that now. You want your best players on the biggest stage. That's going to happen. Dodgers are a big brand. There's no question about it. This helps Major League Baseball. As far as circumvention goes, I mean, this is totally allowable in the CBA. Listen, Ohtani, you're never going to see someone play pitch and hit like Ohtani ever again. Not at this level. I'm sorry. People are saying, you know, does this open the door for more Ohtanis? No, he's that much of a unicorn. And the same with this contract. What other player, Rich, is going to get to free agency and say, defer 97% of my salary? Nobody. I mean, again, the Dodgers must have been doing cartwheels when he brought that up. Most guys walk in there and they say, I want the money. I want to set records. I want a luxury box. I want limo rides or plane rides back and forth to home. I want all these perks. He didn't ask for any of that. In fact, he actually did the opposite and that said, you can have the money for 10 years. I don't need it. It's exactly what he said. He actually told the Dodgers, these numbers are laughable. He used that word. I mean, we just have to look at Ohtani differently than we do most of these players who get to the peak of their profession and want to max out because their value is attached. Don't get me wrong. He still has great value. Nobody's feeling sorry for him in terms of the money. But this is a very gracious, unusual, and I think unique gesture. And as far as the salary structure, Rich, the way I look at it now is we used to have the haves and the have-nots. We have three tiers now. You have the Dodgers and the Mets, then you have the haves, and then you have the have-nots. And that's the way it is right now. And maybe the Yankees want to join the Dodgers and the Mets, and maybe Yamamoto pushes the Yankees in that regard. But yeah, they're playing by different rules. But look what happened to the postseason last year. Arizona took them out in three games. So that's the great equalizer. The baseball postseason now is the great equalizer. It's hard to imagine the Dodgers not making the playoffs when they have Ohtani 10 straight years. But how many championships? I don't know. If they get one, that's a lot the way the game is going because of the postseason. Because being that super third-tier team, that super team, so to speak, doesn't guarantee you anything in a five-game series.
Tom Verducci, a couple minutes left. I've got two more questions for you. First one, what about Mike Trout? Any idea how this is landing with him and what he might want to do, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, the whole idea that Trout was going to be traded was a complete false narrative. If you know Mike Trout, he's not that kind of a guy. He wants to please people. He's just the same kid from Millville, hangs out with his same high school buddies, never got into free agency. Remember, there were about 22 teams that passed on Mike Trout. The Angels drafted him. He's never forgotten that. He has signed two extensions with them. The only way they would ever trade Mike Trout if he walked in and said, get me out of here, trade me. He's not doing that. Now, he may go in there and say, listen, you guys better figure out a way to make this team more competitive because I want to win. But he's not the kind of guy to say, trade me.
And Yamamoto is the biggest name that's out there. What does everything else look like now that the Ohtani domino is finally fallen, Tom?
Yeah, this is amazing because Yamamoto, people thought the number was going to be a little over $200 million. Plus, there's a posting fee attached to that, about $30 to $40 million. Now that number is going to wind up over 300, whether it's with the posting fee or without. The market's going up because literally half the teams in baseball want to sign these guys. He's a free agent at 25 as a number one pitcher, and he's got the Yankees and the Mets bidding against each other. And oh, by the way, the Dodgers asked Ohtani, how would you feel about Yamamoto being on the team too? He's like, go for it. Sure, this is one reason why I'm deferring all this money. And they're after Josh Hader. I mean, so Yamamoto is really going to kill it. But there's also Roki Sasaki coming from Japan. If he is posted, to me, he's actually the better pitcher than Yamamoto. He throws a lot harder. He's more of a strikeout pitcher. Yamamoto is great. Don't get me wrong. He's a real pitch maker. But I don't know where Yamamoto is going to wind up, but that number keeps going up. He's got until January 4th to sign. And he's got the Yankees, the Mets, and the Dodgers falling over themselves trying to sign him. I think he's going to do okay, Rich.
I think so, too. What's the – I lied. Last one for you. The most likely owner to call his superstar player and say, how much do you want to defer? Who's the one that's going to call up their superstar player making a gajillion dollars and saying, does 90 to 7%? What do you think? Should just give it a whirl? Hey, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take, right? So which owner you think is going to do that? Tom?
Yeah, so, I think maybe the Dodgers do that again with Yamamoto. It worked once already. Just keep it going, man. If Shohei can do it, why can't you?
Tom, thanks for the time, man. Let's do this more often. It's a delight. Thanks
Love
for the information.
It, thanks.
Right back at you. That's Tom Verducci of Sports Illustrated, Fox, and Major League Baseball Network. How does Major League Baseball feel about this? That's the question I asked. How dumb of me to ask that question. Because I'm sitting here thinking, they set these rules up to prevent a team with a gajillion dollars going out and having a lineup that starts with Mookie Betts, Freddie Freeman, and Shohei Ohtani.
Good.
They have done that on purpose to make it tough for very rich people who don't like to spend money when it goes to other people who don't like to spend money. Okay? If you are very rich owning a team, you spend money and it shows up on your field and it shows up with a trophy in your case, go for it.
Well spent.
You are a rich person and the cost of putting people on your field and putting a trophy in your case costs you money you have to give to other rich people you know are rich and will not use that money in the same way to compete with you, but would rather feather their own nests. You're like, to hell with that. And that's how they have set up these rules. And now maybe the richest team in the sport has circumvented these rules because they found a unicorn who could not only hit for power, but run for days like a deer and throw like a Cy Young player. And that person is like, I'm rich enough. Pay me nothing. Tom Verducci said his first thought to his agent was like, can I defer all of it?
All of it.
What? I'm getting 50 mil from food. Why do I need this?
Can I defer all of it? And here I am saying to Tom Verducci, how does baseball feel about that? And he's just like, well, he's going to a team that's made 11 straight postseasons. And what better way to get people to watch the sport than have the most famous guy on planet Earth in the sport play when the most eyeballs are on the sport and be in the number two media market of the United States of America? And they play San Francisco, which is a top five media market. They play Chicago, which is a top five media market. And they visit New York, number one media market.
For one of the most legendary franchises.
And on top of it, no one else will do what Ohtani just did, which is like defer all of it. So the rules still have teeth, but in this case, that's the way the omelet's made. We broke a few eggs out there in Los Angeles. Holy crap. Why couldn't he do it for the Yankees?
Why couldn't he do it for the Red Sox?
And there's a guy in New York City.
Yes, Cousin Stevie's probably like, wait a minute, I could have done this.
Here's when I know that the Sox weren't going to sign Ohtani.
When they traded Mookie Betts?
Well, that too.
Well, that was the first sign.
Okay.
It was April this year, and it was pouring down rain, and he was starting for Anaheim, and he looks around and goes, yeah, this sucks.
Yeah, and so if he was like, he doesn't want cold weather because it messes with his...
Yeah.
Any type
of rainouts, any of that stuff.
It messes with his preparation. So
we had no chance.
So neither did the Cubs. You heard like the Cubs are in on it.
No chance.
Look, at least I can tolerate and like the Dodgers, so I'm cool with that.
No, you can't.
The Sox would have annoyed me. Yankees would have annoyed
me. Who are you?
What are you talking
about? You're a Clipper fan. They're the Lakers of baseball. What's the matter with you?
For the Angels.
I should. Well, my grandfather was the biggest Dodger fan on earth. So.
You are a Met fan, and you are a Clipper fan, which means you would fit right in with the Angels fans.
You would fit right in.
Just get your thunder sticks and go right down.
Like I said,
to Anaheim, pal,
because
you fit in right
Dodgers
in perfectly
fan.
There.
I grew up watching Dodgers games, so I got no problem with the Dodgers.
This guy. But when it comes to professional football. He's not rooting for those plucky teams, is he?
I think I just said.
All right. I'm just bitter. I'm a bitter, bitter man right now hearing all this information.
Nobody likes the Dodgers? Is that what you said?
No.
There's a lot of people here who do.
What are you talking about? Nobody likes the Dodgers.
49 other states, nobody likes the Dodgers.
Who has more car flags here in Los Angeles, Laker fans or Dodger fans?
Dodger fans.
I saw a Charger car flag on my drive home the other day.
Oh, my God. Was it Easton Stick?
Might have been.
All right. Let's take a break here on the Rich Eisen Show.
Why is he not playing baseball?
Phone calls and overreaction Monday on a Tuesday coming up. You know, in today's world, it seems the best treatment is reserved only for a few. Well, Discover wants to change that by making everyone feel special. That's why with your Discover card, you have access to 24/7 live customer service as well as $0 fraud liability, which means you're never held responsible for unauthorized purchases. Finally, no matter who you are or where you are in life, you'll feel special with Discover. Learn more at discover.com/creditcard. Limitations apply.
Get an inside look at Hollywood with Michael Rosenbaum.
Let's get inside of my father, John Glover. You know, we watched Hawkville, and most of these episodes I never saw.
I didn't watch the show.
You never once saw yourself on Smallville.
In the beginning, I used to look at myself all the time and love to. And then as I get older, I stopped.
Why is that?
I don't know. Maybe because I'm older.
I was going to talk to you about that because you're 79.
Yeah.
How old do you feel?
11.
Inside of You with Michael Rosenbaum. Wherever you listen.
Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, I'm at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Lee in Santa Barbara, you've been hanging on for a while. What's up, Lee?
What's up, my fellas? How you guys doing?
What's going on?
What up, Lee?
Hey, Lee.
Hey, this is Lee, man. TJ, I got your TJ Plus up in the house.
Yeah.
Sounds, Lee, I'm just going to say this. You know, we've just got to meet you last time you called in. Sounds like you're sampling some of that Plus right now. I'm not going to lie.
Well, you know, you have to see, you know, like product. Like, you know, if it's good enough, you know?
Understood.
Yeah, true.
No, listen.
Test it out.
It's
no brown with
it's the, you've,
QC.
You woke, and it's the Great Santa Barbara Baking Show that we've got right here on Roku.
Can you imagine? We live in this, it's like 71 degrees outside.
It's amazing.
It is just beautiful. It's December what, you know?
I understand.
That's why
we're
Otani
lucky.
Didn't want to leave.
That's why Otani didn't want to leave. Yeah. What's on your mind, Lee? What's on your mind?
Well, first of all, I just want to go around the room real quick. Brockman. You need to take me to a Rams game one day. I'd really like that.
Okay.
Sure. Absolutely.
All right.
Yeah.
He's got to go first, Lee.
Jason, when he picks me up, when I go to the Rams game with Brockman, can you give me a ride in your Maserati?
Okay.
You got it.
Okay.
Yeah. And TJ, thanks for the call this morning. I really love you, dude. You're my favorite guy.
You're welcome. You got
and
the
Rich,
cup?
I want to give a shout out to an L.A. deli called Wexler's Deli. Have you guys ever been there?
No, sir.
I've heard of it.
Well, the day after I was on your show, Rich, I went, had an interview. They're opening up a place here in Santa Barbara.
Okay.
And he was like, you're Lee from Santa Barbara? And I got hired because of you, Rich.
Hey, RES Consulting. That's us doing our job, Lee.
That's what's up.
Now, for the sports thing, I wanted to talk about why I think the Chiefs are screwing up.
Okay.
Two words. Eric Bieniemy. Like, I don't know. I play a lot. I have 30-something fantasy football teams, you know?
What?
Yeah, I do. I really, I'm kind of, it's kind of insane. My girl doesn't like it very much.
Okay.
You know? But if you look, Sam Howell, on a weekly basis, outscores fantasy numbers than Patrick Mahomes.
I hear you, Lee. And you know, I see where you're going on that front. And by the way, thank you for calling and call back again. Okay, brother? You be well.
What are you smoking, bro? Give me some.
Thank you. Hey, TJ Plus.
TJ,
no, but in all seriousness, though, the fantasy aspect of it, I just wanted to place aside. The Eric Bieniemy part of it is, you heard that from Chris Long yesterday, the name Eric Bieniemy, and you're hearing that a lot because last year, with all due respect to Juju Smith-Schuster, they won a Super Bowl with the pretty much same receiving core, right?
More or less,
they currently have right now. And Rashee Rice is replacing, if you will, Juju Smith-Schuster.
Juju, yeah. Right.
Juju out and Rashee in. And he's better than Juju Smith-Schuster right now. I think we can all say that, although Juju's kind of been in an offensive wasteland in New England all year. With all due respect, though, this kid, Rashee Rice, has been a revelation compared to the way everyone else around him plays in the receiver room for Kansas City. And Chris Long said yesterday, and we posted it on our Instagram page and TikTok and everything else at Rich Eisen Show, with a reel where he basically said, I don't think Mahomes' receivers hate him, but, you know, it sure seems like it sometimes. And he mentioned Eric Bieniemy because what is the difference if receivers are dropping it and not running the routes at proper depth and not being there where Mahomes is expecting him to? And that might be a residual effect of not feeling that they're being held accountable enough. Now, the issue with that is I would imagine Mahomes is in charge of making the players feel accountable and is one of those red asses and all-time greats that you just simply don't want to let down. You think Marquez Valdes-Scantling likes looking at Mahomes after he drops one? Or you like, you know, if one of the, you think Sky Moore, if he runs the route at the wrong depth, likes going back to Mahomes? Because he knows, they all know what's happening. And so does Mahomes, which is why I think he snapped after Kadarius Toney was called for offensive offsides at the ref, because what's he going to do, air out Toney like that in front of Tony Romo and everybody?
Yeah, you had a good point with that yesterday.
And so, because him, he just didn't sound rational. Like him going up to Josh Allen afterwards and complaining to Josh.
Yeah, Josh is like, All right. What is he going to say?
Or saying that the refs should just let him play. The ref, when the ref threw the flag, had no idea one of the craziest, off-the-wall, remarkable plays was about to unfold and be erased by his flag. He had no idea. Yeah, flag's thrown.
It could have been a sack.
And he went on officiating the rest of the play.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I
mean, so it doesn't really make sense. It's irrational. So I'm trying to get a rational thought where he just lost it. And he went on local radio in Kansas City yesterday and made mention.
Obviously, you don't want to react that way. I care, man. I love it. I love this game. I love my teammates, and I want to go out there and put everything on the line to win. Obviously, can't do that. I mean, can't be that way towards officials or really anybody in life. I probably regret acting like that. But more than anything, I regretted the way I acted towards Josh after the game because he had nothing to do with it. I was still hot and emotional. But you can't do that, man. It's not a great example for kids watching the game. So that I was more upset about that than I was about me on the sideline.
That's the drive with Carrington Harrison and Sports Machine, I think Sean Levine.
For saying all that.
Exactly.
He has enough goodwill build up, too, that like.
So let's just, if there's anybody who's earned a pass.
Him.
To go, you know, to hit free parking and then and collect money on go and go around the, you know, and.
It's probably, the water's been boiling since week one.
I believe that's what it is, you know.
Like your point yesterday, Rich, was that he was yelling at his receivers through the.
Through the refs. And you've heard coaches that won't call out the star player but will go all over the 53rd, 52nd man on the roster about doing the thing that the star player did. And you jump on the player that you can.
It's like a Jimmy Johnson thing, right?
So let's just call it for what it is, what it was, a penalty, and something that the Chiefs are frustrated bunch right now.
It won't happen again.
And giving a pass Tony should just line up on sides. All right, let's hit it right now. It's an overreaction Monday on a Tuesday. Hit it.
That was terrible.
That was crap. That was garbage.
This place sucks.
Overreaction
Mondays.
Monday. On a Tuesday.
All right, I like it. What do you got over there, Chris?
Hey, guys, what's up?
What do you got?
Hey, we're doing better than the Dolphins. Miami, not serious Super Bowl contenders.
All right, that's an overreaction.
Disrespect is real.
It is indeed real. Come on,
man. Well, they haven't beaten anybody. Tua's horrible in prime time, and then they go out last night and do that.
The number of times we've seen teams struggle in late games that they should win and –
Not when you have a chance to go on a run.
I'm not going to discard them. I will not discard them. They're still incredibly talented. I love the coach. I love the players on that team in terms of getting to where this team needs to go. I think they lost focus. I think they lost Tyreek Hill. And I think they, you know, for a very significant period of the game, they lost their center. I know these are all quote unquote excuses, but I'm not going to discard them as serious Super Bowl contenders.
I'm not. Serious people.
Thank you very much. I'll just call that an overreaction. I understand why you'd react that way. Let's see what happens. They've got some competition coming up. Again, Miami, two of their final four opponents is Dallas at home and at Baltimore, and then you can add Buffalo on for size at the end of it.
They may not win any of these games.
I hear you. They might win them all, too. You never know.
That's true.
What else, Chris?
I'm watching the Eagles play the last couple of weeks. And you know what? David Carr was right. They should rest Jalen Hurts until he's 100%.
No way. Come on, man. When did he get hurt? After he galloped in the end zone like a deer against the Buffalo Bills to end that game in overtime?
Adrenaline is a wonderful thing.
Okay.
He's definitely not right.
He's definitely not playing as well as he did last year. You're going to put Marcus Mariota against the Dallas Cowboys? Is that really what you were going to do?
They already went and Gardner Minshew last year.
Come on. You're not going to do that.
They're already in the playoffs. So get him healthy because for when it really matters. Do you care about winning the Super Bowl or not?
No. I still disagree with David. I do think he is not 100%. I do not believe Marcus Mariota should be placed in the starting role because Hurts needs to get rest up. I mean, if the guy is physically able to go, run the ball a little better or focus a little bit more on DeAndre Swift. I mean, you know who dropped the ball? A.J. Brown. had one right in his hands, right on the 3-yard line in the first quarter of that game. Dropped it. You know, Devontae Smith had a touchdown, dropped it. All three of them fumbled it. Why? You don't think that would happen if Marcus Mariota was starting? That's an overreaction. You're 2 for 2 right now. You're so good.
I'm on fire.
At this hit rate, you should defer 97% of your salary. Is that an overreaction?
Let's talk offline, Rich.
Okay.
Watching the Bears play, Rich. God, Fields is so good. I like him. The Bears should take Marvin Harrison first overall.
No,
let's go.
Way.
We love Marvin Harrison here.
You know what they should do? They should wind up, if you are Justin Fields, you should trade whoever's two. If whoever's two needs a quarterback, trade with them. Go down one spot.
Get all their picks.
Get not all their picks, but a significant amount. And then use that one on Marvin Harrison. You're just going to choose him first overall, and you're, come on.
Who cares? Why not?
I think he's incredibly talented, but
he's going to the Hall of Fame, Rich.
He's incredibly talented.
We already know what his bust looks like.
Yeah, okay. It's already done.
Just great.
Add the long hair to it.
First overall, I don't know. I still find it. It's. I think Keyshawn's the last receiver that'll going to go first overall forevermore. So go down to 2. Go down to 3. Go down and go get him.
What if nobody wants to go up?
Oh, somebody's going to want to go up for Caleb Williams. Drake May announced yesterday he's playing in the NFL next year.
We knew that.
He announced he's going. Come on, man.
You think he'll last to the Cowboys pick?
No.
Drake May or Marvin Harrison?
You don't need him. You got the MVP. What are you talking about? You're about to pay Dak $55 million
a year. No, I'm talking
about Marvin. Oh, I got you.
Yeah. Well, Marvin.
What else, Chris? You're 3 for 3 now, man.
I love it. Well, you're going to love this one.
Oh, my God. You're about to hit for the cycle?
Yeah.
All right.
Well, yeah, I'm about to go around the base.
For the overreaction cycle?
Here's the deal. Rich, what am I doing?
You're doing Tommy DeVito.
How you doing?
Oh, Daniel Jones should be out.
Giants
and Tommy DeVito.
Should trade Daniel Jones and start DeVito in 2024.
Let's see how he finishes this year.
Get Daniel Jones out of here.
Do me this favor and ask me this question on the first overreaction Monday of 2024. Do me that favor. Let's put a pin in this one right now.
Yeah, you think Daniel Jones is getting his teammates to rally around him and do whatever he does? He doesn't even have a thing. DeVito's got a thing.
Yeah, he's
got moxie.
Thing.
Yeah. He's got an agent wearing a cool hat.
Got cutlets.
Daniel Jones doesn't have that. He's got cutlets. He's got tailgates with 300 people. Daniel Jones sells insurance.
Who's you want to trade Daniel Jones to the Patriots?
No.
Okay. See, you have to understand, there's got to be a trade partner for this to be real.
Which, again, leads me to believe, 55 starting quarterbacks.
Do me this favor, Chris. Put a pin in it. Maybe the first overreaction Monday once the season's over. Let's see how he finishes up.
Yeah, make a note of that.
What else you got?
NFC North. Bah. They're getting just one playoff team.
You said 3 like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, it's a different time now.
Of course. That's not an overreaction.
Changed.
That's perfect.
Seasons change.
Yeah, man. And I understand there's
what the hell are the Packers doing last
and
night?
And I understand there's 3 of them at 6-7. One of which is good enough to be a division leader.
Vikings, Toby, Nick Mullins going to the playoffs?
Tommy,
no.
By the way, Tommy DeVito's going to New Orleans this week.
Tommy.
He's going to show him. He's going to show him cutlets over beignets. Cannolis over beignets, cutlets over turtle soup.
Red beans and rice. Wait a minute.
Hold on a minute. He's going to show. Hold on a minute. It's going to be cannolis over beignets.
Po' boys. Cutlets over po' boys.
It's going to be.
Yeah, that's a good one. Cutlets over po' boys.
Minestrone over
jambalaya.
Well, gumbo's good though, dog.
I know, but I don't know.
Veal cutlets over turtle.
Totally.
And again, I'm not really a Cajun food guy.
Creole to a Swiss.
What else? I agree there.
Okay, Justin Herbert out for the season.
Yes, sir.
This guy needs to demand a trade. Herbert needs a change of scenery. Let's get him out of here.
No,
get him somewhere else. You think would the Bears trade 5th overall to the Chargers for Herbert?
No. Why would the Chargers trade him? He's a treasure.
It doesn't matter. It's not up to them. If he says, I want out, this team is a cancer. I'm never going to win here.
No.
I'm awesome. All the nerds think I'm great. Get me somewhere else.
He might just need a change of coaching, and he might get it very soon.
Yeah, he could have Mike
Tomlin. That's an overreaction, too. Hopefully you just don't ever think you'd want to change the scenery here, Chris. You're too valuable.
Thanks, Rich.
What else you got?
Get that memo.
Thank you. Do you got one more?
Last one.
Great.
We talked about Ohtani and the money. And,
we did.
And the Dodgers haven't won a World Series since 1988. Guess what?
No,
Mike Trout
is
not true.
They won one a cup in 2020.
No, they didn't. Okay. No one thinks that's a real World Series.
Oh my
Get
God.
Over yourself, Dodger fans. Mike Trout is going to win a World Series before Shohei Ohtani.
All right, dude.
With who?
Book it.
What is happening to him?
Is Mike Trout staying with the Angels?
I don't care. Well, Mike Trout is going to get a ring on his finger before Ohtani.
Is he getting married? That's the way he'll
get
a ring.
He's already married.
Okay, well then that's...
Come on. Mike Trout's definitely not finishing his career in Anaheim, so he's going to go somewhere else and win a title.
So off the wall that overreaction is, to use that word, is an underreaction to that take. That's on fire. As a matter of fact, we should remove it because it might burn holes through people's television screens right
pay
now.
Pay Ohtani $700 million to go out in the first round? Come okay. on.
Well, they're not. They're paying them $2 million.
Okay.
You know,
so. Well done, Chris. Very well done.
That's why I'm here.
Excellent. All right. We'll take a break. We'll come. By the way, our Overreaction Monday podcast is available where all podcasts can be acquired. As soon as we are done, Susie Schuster and Amy Trask will record the latest edition of What the Football. Dan Patrick will be zooming in. And when we come back, there's apparently a story. Did you hear why Tyreek Hill got back in the game?
Read something on
Twitter.
I saw
something that his wife that was involved.
Susie will join us to discuss this next. I think this is going to be an excellent use of our final segment in real estate. That's next. This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Stacking Benjamins with Joe and his good friend OG not only has great financial insight, it's laid back with humor too.
Joe talks with Stacking Deeds co-host Crystal Hammond.
I've always been a fan of nosy neighbors. I want nosy neighbors. They can tell you what's going on 10 times faster than you would know.
Again, what's she talking about, Doug?
Really?
We're repairing neighborhoods, but then we're into nosy neighbors. And
yeah, built a career off of that.
Find out more by searching the Stacking Benjamins podcast, wherever you listen.
Susie Schuster here, getting ready to shoot What the Football with Amy Trask, Dan Patrick on the program. So I did not know... why Tyreek Hill came back in the game. Because when he turned his ankle last night on that hip drop, it sure looked like he was being pulled from behind as well, right? The horse collar. And you could see, like, there was a wrap on his ankle, and there was a trainer holding his helmet. Like, they wouldn't give him his helmet back. Yep. When that happens, I thought he's done for the night.
Yep.
But he came back in the third quarter, and I was wondering... Didn't I even say earlier in the program, I'm like, maybe Mike McDaniel was trying to hold him back due to precaution, and he realized that the game was too close, he had to put him back in. Apparently his wife was involved in this. Mm. This is Tyreek Hill after the game.
When it happened, like my first reaction was like, man, my ankle got. Then my adrenaline kicked in, I ran off the field, and then I sat for a while and got stiff. I was just going through a lot of pain, man. So then I just made up in my mind, I came in at halftime, I texted my wife, I was like, bro, like, it hurt, like, get an ankle massage tonight. She was like, you better get your ass back in that game, dog. So I just made up my mind that it's going to hurt. It's going to suck. Tonight and tomorrow morning. You know, and I just went back in the game on my own. Like, not anybody saying, Reek, go. Like, nah, it was like, this. I got to get out there, you know, and bring some energy and be that spark.
So.
Hold on. Hold on.
Yes.
Tyreek, you did not come back into the game on your own. You came back into the game because you are afraid of your wife, and I like that about you.
Well, she
That's right. You did not come back into the game on your own, Tyreek. You came in because you were scared to show up in your own house if you didn't get back in the game. And I am here for it, and I like it, and I endorse it.
I got to be honest.
She called him a wimp. Get back in the game.
That was also my interpretation. Now, it might not be as... aggressive,
right,
as you just stated, but it did seem like what would be more of a pain for him, the throbbing ankle or facing his wife after she told him to go back in the game and he's like, I just couldn't do it.
Yeah,
I'll be back.
Nice.
That's what he said
from the baby chair. Yeah. So that was my interpretation too.
What makes me feel good about that is sometimes I feel badly when I'm listening to the show in the car and I call in to either you, the show, Brockman, TJ,
you're texting
anybody, because I can't help it. And she felt the same way. She was like, get off your ass and get back in the game. And he was like, yes, ma'am.
Suck it up.
And he came up with 50 more yards and then he
immediately caught two deep passes. Immediately.
Because, by the way, he was fine, because men can be wussies. And so We just have to say, like,
here we go.
I don't really think that.
Yeah.
I don't.
Call
think
me
that.
After you have a child, and then we'll have a conversation. Get back in the game, dog. I think she called him dog.
Well, get back in the game, dog.
Yeah.
That part.
Yeah. Go. You have a baby.
Yeah.
I mean, I passed a kidney stone. It's about
whatever.
That is true. That hurt, right?
You really just said that to somebody who's been in labor 3 times.
I mean, honestly,
it hurt.
Yeah. Great.
Don't try to diminish my pain.
So, by the way, maybe,
so
just maybe there needs to be a phone on each sideline of the National Football League where a wife can tell the player.
What kind of hot nightmare is that for men everywhere?
What could go wrong?
Can I tell you something really funny?
And if she gotten to him, maybe it'd have been back in the second quarter.
Yeah. After Amy and my podcast last week, you know, it's on YouTube, obviously, and... somebody wrote in the comments, run, Rich, run. After you run.
What?
Yeah. Why? I think because they think I'm just horrible. But
well, I mean, your introduction, everyone should check it out. You know, again, it's Susie saying, and look who's back here on What the Football. It's Rich Eisen. Hi. That was your introduction.
Right.
Hi.
What am I supposed to do? Talk about your accolades? I mean,
I don't know.
Hey, yeah, everybody. I mean, he's the multi-Emmy nominated show host, Rich Eisen, also known as the guy that leaves his clothes on the floor from the hamper.
Oh, my God.
Everybody, welcome, Rich Eisen. Hi.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Yeah, maybe that should be it.
Wrong drop, Philly. Where's the one that says it's my show, damn it?
Oh, my gosh.
My point is, anyway, I'm just all here for Mrs. Hill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the bat phone.
Dog? Will you refer to me as dog from
now
on?
No.
What if I request it?
Oh, I'm sorry. No, that just feels icky.
Take that offline.
You know. And text. In text only. Oh, my gosh.
But honestly, how great is that, though? She was like, get your ass back in the game.
There you go.
He's just looking for some TLC, and she gave him some hard love. I mean, come on.
Men are such
fans. By the way,
his ankle massage.
2 more catches. Do you know how many fantasy leagues she probably won with those 2 catches?
Probably not.
I don't know.
Also, she knows that the Dolphins need him to have a multi-100-yard reception day in order to win.
That's it.
Yeah, he's the MVP of the week. We watched it last night.
Well, that's it, go. Check out Susie and Amy Trask with Dan Patrick on What the Football. I want to thank my guests, Tony Shalhoub, Tom Verducci, and Adam Driver. Back to wrap up the show in a sec.
For the real story behind some of wrestling's biggest moments, it's Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard and Conrad Thompson, too.
1995, when WCW announces they're going to be live and head-to-head with Monday Night Raw, feels like this would have been something Vince would have kind of laughed off.
No, we did not like them moving to Monday nights. There were a lot of hotels. They all carried CNN, TBS, and TNT. Vince was convinced that Ted Turner had deviously done this deal to get in the hotels and keep us out.
Something to Wrestle, wherever you listen.